Please forgive me for preempting Thrive with Brad Bigney. My name is Todd Friel. I'm the executive director of Fortis Institute. We have the joy of producing Thrive, which is ranked in the top 3% of all podcasts worldwide. Why? Because, like you, I'm learning a ton from Brad. After 35 years of marriage, I listen to Thrive, and I'm reminded of what marriage is all about and how to do it in a more God-glorifying way. If that describes your experience with this podcast, would you please consider supporting Fortis Institute as the year draws to a close? Super crucial giving season for us. It'll help us enter 2026 in a very healthy fashion and reach even more people and strengthen even more marriages. If you would kindly consider becoming a gospel partner, you can do that at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney, with my sweet, sweet wife by my side.
Hello, Thrive family. We're so happy to be back with you.
Yeah, it's just better when she's here to bounce things off of.
Better together.
That's right. Because it's been what God has done in both of us, not just one of us.
That's true.
And so we've been digging in on our show. If you've enjoyed it, we've really appreciated it. We just crossed the 1 year mark, and it's fun to hear from people. Woohoo, yeah. A 1 year birthday on Thrive Marriage Podcast. So if you enjoy it, consider, I don't know what your platform is, whether you're listening on Apple or Spotify or Amazon, whatever that thing is you do, if you give it a like, give it a star, I don't know what it might be. If you've enjoyed it and you appreciate it, do that for us. That is a great way that people make a decision whether to join us in the show and learn. But number one way is always word of mouth. If an episode is helpful to you, send it to a friend, tell a friend, because we are really trying to not point you to us. It's not like, it's not the Brad and Vicky show.
Right.
It is the Jesus and God's Word show. Because I hope you've heard how often we're just bringing it back to the Bible. And that's where we are in these recent shows, walking our way through real love. Because when you say marriage, of course you think love.
Right.
Love. But oh my goodness, you better get a hold of what it is and what it isn't. It is not just a feeling. When you turn to God's Word, you find out that love has feet on it. And love as an action word, there's things it does, and there's things that the feet of love run from and say, not that. And so very often, you got to get out of your heart, out of your thought, out of your life, the things that are killing love.
Uh-huh.
And so in that famous 1 Corinthians 13 passage, Paul tells us, love is patient. We dug into it. Love is kind. But then he rolls through 8 things you better be careful about, 8 things you better be alert to. And where we've parked it for a while right now is love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. But here's the problem. As soon as I say, pride will kill a marriage, most people think, well, great, because that's not my problem. But my spouse sure should work on this, or I got a friend that should work on this, or I got people at work that I see guilty of this. Let me bring something to you. I believe every human being struggles with or should be struggling with pride.
Uh-huh.
But the struggle can't even begin until you recognize it in yourself.
Right. And it's hard to see.
Like, did you come into our marriage thinking, I know I'm a very prideful person, so I'm going to have to watch this?
No, I had no idea.
Neither did I.
Right.
So, and then war broke out. I did not come in thinking, I am one of the most proud people I know. Vicki Dill didn't come in thinking, but our pride, did our pride get in the way?
It did. Whew. And I think, you know, if you trace it back even further to the beginning of time when Satan was thrown out of heaven because of his pride. Yeah. He wanted to make a name for himself. He didn't want to be under the authority of God. Right. So I think, you know, we're never really more like Satan than when we are not willing to deal with our pride.
Yeah, when you think through sins, we tend to have a category of heinous, awful sins.
I'm not murdering someone.
But if we're not careful, we think, pride. You know,
it's a very serious sin.
I don't have a lot of it. And even if I did, I don't know how important it is to work on that. You're right. He was thrown out of heaven because it said, and the pronoun was I.
Right.
I will exalt myself. Yes. I will be. And because of our sin nature, each one of us brings a lot of that pronoun.
Right. Even after salvation, thank goodness for salvation.
Yeah.
And then the sanctification process starts. But it's not automatic. And I think that's what we're trying to, some of you may think, oh my word, when are y'all going to get off this subject? But we were really trying to help flesh out practically, because we're both really practical people. And as Brad always says, you don't sin in fuzzy land. And what's the second part?
Nobody changes in fuzzy land.
Right.
So I hope you can appreciate, we're trying to bring it out of the great big gray blob.
Don't be prideful.
Of pride down into crystal clear components, facets, individual. And so pride is that chameleon that has dozens of manifestations. And we love to see the manifestation of it that's not our problem.
Right.
And so we're gonna bring another one today. Here's a manifestation of pride seeking independence or control. Now, even as I say it, I want to be careful. Don't hear what we're not saying. Almost every good thing can go too far. I like to say to people and think myself, remind myself, every strength has an Achilles heel or a dark side that can be not good. And so don't think in terms of it's wrong to be altogether independent, because in raising five kids, weren't you shooting for a level of independence, honey?
Yeah, I mean, we told our children from a young age, like, our goal for you is to love you well, to train you, help you have life skills, become independent, teach you how to go through hard things without falling apart, allow hard things to happen to you and not just quickly rescue you, like you try to figure it out some on your own. But our goal was, we want you to fly and leave the nest.
Yeah, a healthy mother.
Right.
Sometimes you run into one that you can tell she loves this. A healthy mother does not want all the kids hanging around her knees just saying, mama, mama, mama. And they're afraid to even move from her presence or lose sight
of
her.
Healthy. Or
that's a mother that needs to be needed. Uh-huh. And that's a whole different issue. But a healthy mother is thinking, no, I want to raise them to where they can make decisions. They can be independent. But what we're talking about is independence gone too far.
On steroids.
Gone to the dark side. Uh-huh. On steroids. Where you've crossed the line and now it's like, oh, I do not want to ever have to submit myself to someone else.
Uh-huh.
If I think it, it's got to be right. And so this person finds it extremely difficult to work under somebody else. At work is where it shows up very often. Man, they just cannot do what the supervisor said or obey or comply or go with it. And of course, we often have different thoughts. But this person cannot rein it in and say, well, now I wouldn't have done it that way. And he or she wants it this way, but I'll do it. I can do that. They find it difficult to work under someone else or to submit to any authority. They have to be their own boss. And they might say, I don't need anyone. I don't need accountability for my faith or my doctrine. It's just, this might sound like an exciting thing, but it's not a biblical thing when someone says, it's just me and Jesus.
Yeah.
Just give me Jesus. Don't give me local church. Don't give me accountability. Don't give me other authorities. Me and Jesus. That actually isn't healthy. And it doesn't reveal a good heart, because Jesus himself didn't think you just needed him and you.
Right.
He pointed you to the church where you have to actually submit to other people. And so this is a person that they're often rigid, stubborn, headstrong, and intimidating.
Wow.
Rigid, stubborn, headstrong, and intimidating. And don't you agree, honey? Like, I am very, very, very set in my ways.
Yes. And oh, my.
So
yes.
As I brought Rigid into our marriage.
Right.
Did our marriage flourish? Did you feel loved by Rigid?
No.
Yeah.
No. And I'm sure you didn't feel loved by, you know, I was more headstrong and stubborn. So, you know, both of us were sinning in that way.
Yeah.
And God helped show that to us.
But I'd never seen my Rigid as anything other than a plus.
Right.
You know, that's what we always tend to put a positive spin on. I thought, oh, I am so disciplined.
Such a leader.
I am so organized. Right. I get so much done. I know exactly how I'm going to do everything every day.
Right.
Well, all right. Dark side.
By yourself, that's fine.
That's fine. Living all by yourself, that might not be a problem.
All by yourself.
And then again, working all by yourself, that might not be a problem. But when you work with a team, when you live with another person, Rigid does not cause a marriage to thrive. In fact, I think I've heard you say, honey, that someone you appreciated, another woman that you were reading or heard, said, blessed are the flexible.
Yeah, and I really like that.
For those shall experience a good marriage.
Yeah.
A healthy marriage.
Because I think there's so many areas that we have to be flexible in, or we should be. So I think that's important. Blessed are the flexible, because I think when you're flexible, it leads to peacemaking, and peacemaking leads to being flexible. Someone that's rigid, stubborn, they're not going to be a peacemaker. They're not going to be flexible. And that's really going to hurt all your relationships.
All right. You're listening to Thrive, and we're talking about what would get your marriage from barely alive in the ICU, gasping for breath. And it often isn't what you think it would be. It's not that you need a trip to Europe. It's not that you need to add a den on the back of the head. It's not that you need a shared hobby. It's not that you should have another baby. It could be that you haven't yet figured out what it is that's choking the life out of your marriage. And sometimes it's little things that you don't think is a big deal, like pride in some of its manifestations of being inflexible. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a moment. It just exposed the most American lie ever treated as something spiritual, and that's that independence is a virtue. And there's really no wonder our marriages are collapsing. We've made autonomy our God. I mean, think about the cultural moment that we're in. Every institution that's been designed for accountability is under attack. The local church, it's optional. Marriage, it's outdated. Parental authority, the state knows better. So we've created a society where submission to anything, whether it's our spouse or church or employer, even biological reality, well, that's considered weakness. Meanwhile, suicide rates are skyrocketing, marriages are falling apart at record rates, and young adults, they can't create or even desire to create long-lasting relationships. That's why what we're doing at Fortis Institute matters so much right now. We are creating content for this current cultural moment. Fortis Plus right now has hundreds of hours in audio and video content available to you, but it's not static content. It is content that's being added to every day. And the best part about it, it's absolutely free, because we understand what is happening in the culture, and we understand the importance of speaking truth into that culture and reaching as many people in as many places all over the world as we possibly can. So Fortis Plus, absolutely free of charge. You can download it right now on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Now, let's get back to Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and we're talking about what would help pump real life, real oxygen into the lungs of your marriage and get that thing, regardless of how old you are, what you're physically like, how long you've been married, what would give oxygen back to the lungs of your marriage? And so often you got to get things out of the way that are actually poisoning, choking. And God's word tells us one of the biggest things is love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. But we love to think that that's not our problem. And so we've been breaking it down for you And we're actually drawing a lot of these concepts and manifestations from a fantastic booklet that we want to recommend from Stuart Scott, a biblical counselor. And he's a professor that's taught in biblical counseling for decades.
And he's our friend.
Yeah. And that's actually who did our counseling so long ago, Stuart Scott. And so this booklet, From Pride to Humility, has been gold in our own lives. And I use it all the time in counseling with others. And so today, we're trying to think our way through, where does independence and I gotta be in control, where does that go too far? And where is that actually rooted in pride? Let me thump it for a minute with guys, because we're talking about marriage and that's comprised of a husband and a wife. And so guys, I want you to think, too often we can be guilty of thinking, I'm the husband and the Bible calls me the head. Yes, it does. But that head, he says you should be the head the way Christ is head
right.
of the church and laid his life down for her. And so if you're aware of biblical roles and you think, she's supposed to submit and I'm supposed to love her. She's so supposed to submit and respect and I'm supposed to love her. Yes, that's what you see beginning in verse 22. But I would love for every husband to get just so excited, even more excited about verse 21. Before he even begins to say, wives submit and husbands love, it actually says submitting to one another. Out of reverence for Christ. He actually started in verse 18 saying, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So often pride has you full of you. And that's right. The biggest problem, just too much of you. But when you're filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, then that means you act like Jesus. And Jesus was ready and willing to lay aside his rights and to consider someone else. So men, I want you to understand when we're talking about independence and control, we need to recognize it's on us to make sure that I'm more about loving her and finding out what would please her and being willing to submit my thoughts and push them aside out of reverence for Christ. So both of us are to be right. submitted to Christ.
Right. And this isn't, I've seen it go both ways. I think sometimes men can be the more domineering, controlling, stubborn one. But you know what? It can be us as women too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I've seen it go both
ways.
In a
fallen, broken world, it can go either way.
Right. So I think for me, if your marriage is so one-sided that everything always comes down to my way, is always the best way or the only way, then that's pride. And it's very difficult for your spouse and very oppressive for your spouse because you're married to someone who's made and created in the image of God. And like I said, this could be a husband or a wife that's the one that's always wanting it their way. But if only one person is deciding the marriage, which restaurant we go to,
mm-hmm.
which couch we're buying,
mm-hmm.
when we're having sex, where I want to go on vacation, then kind of like I said before, you should have just stayed single. But for most of you, if you're married, that ship has sailed. You can't now be single again.
Yeah.
But that should be a red flag that if I'm always headstrong, stubborn, demanding my way, that's not a marriage. You're basically putting a nail in the coffin every time you insist yeah. it has to be my way. And I've seen lots of marriages like that. And like I said, it's not just the men. Sometimes it's the women too, that
yeah.
if you don't do it my way, I'm going to pout. I'm going to pull away. I'm not going to talk to you for 4 days.
Yeah.
And I've seen men do the same thing.
Yeah.
So this isn't just a male or female thing. This is basically just
it's a human thing.
A universal
thing.
Human
yeah.
thing. Correct. Yes.
Because I mean, rooted at the very heart of our sin nature is a desire to be autonomous
right.
and absolutely in control and to not have to reconsider anything that you're thinking. And even as you touched on this, Vicky, talking about that, I appreciate you indicating that, yeah, ladies can be just
yeah,
as guilty of
be.
This. It can go either way where you see marriages where the woman is just...
She rules the roost.
Right. She dominates.
And she's not flexible or
yeah.
making for peace ever.
And, either direction, this can really wreck a marriage.
Uh-huh.
And then because I'm thinking about a verse in Genesis chapter 4 where after sin wreaked havoc in marriage and Adam began to blame his wife for the uh-huh. sin, this woman you gave me, Then it's interesting that the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter, I think it's 4. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling to find it here for a minute. He actually says, oh my goodness. He says to the woman, your desire shall be for your husband, but he shall rule over you. And sometimes if you make a mistake, I don't know if you've ever seen that in your Bible and you've read it, it's Genesis chapter 3, where God's rolling out the punishments for sin. It's like, it's in Genesis 3:16, your desire shall be for your husband and he shall rule over you. Well, that word desire doesn't mean I'm going to want to snuggle with him. I'm going to long for him uh-huh. sexually. The word desire, that same word in the Greek is, Hebrew is the Old Testament. That same word is used again in Genesis 4:7 when God is talking to Cain after he murdered uh-huh. his brother Abel. And he says to him, oh, sin is crouching at your heart's door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Uh-huh. And so sin wants to control us and dominate us.
Right.
And so the same thing has happened in our marriage relationships. I do see it like men are supposed to lovingly lead, but very often they abdicate and they're just not leading.
Uh-huh.
They're passive. Or they lead with a heavy hand.
Right.
And the woman is supposed to compliment and follow, and she wants to rule and dominate and control him.
So yeah, it can really be either
way. It can be either
way. I mean, really, I've seen both.
And in either scenario, love is out the window.
Right.
Nobody is feeling loved uh-huh. because it's not thinking of others. It's not preferring others.
Right. And I think I've seen these situations, and I think ours wasn't so one-sided. We were both pretty controlling and wanting to rule.
we were equally wanting to dominate. Yes.
But I really feel for the other spouse because it's a very... It's kind of like, I like the word oppressive because
yeah.
it's always their way. You never have a say so. Yeah. And that's just not biblical. It's just
Like right now, let's pop quiz. You didn't know it was coming, listener. Right now, if you're married, think, when is the last time you didn't get your way? You intentionally didn't. You
that's
knew what
good.
You wanted and maybe you even voiced it, but as your spouse voiced something different, you guys decided to go with different.
Right.
Whether it's couch,
uh-huh.
where you're eating, how you're going to spend Friday night.
Right.
Even little things. Can you even think of the last time that you did not get your way with something?
That's good.
As it relates in your home and in your marriage, the placement of something, where
right.
someone is going to be placed, what you're going to do.
I mean, believe it or not, my husband has an opinion about all those things that some of you would be like, wow, my husband doesn't care what kind of pillows we buy, what kind of couch. My husband cares about all of it. Now, he does fund it, which I've said before. Thank you, baby, you fund it. But he has an opinion. So we've had to really work on this area because he has an opinion. I have an opinion. Who's going to win?
And so we had to learn in marriage that strong opinion that we both have, it's rooted in pride.
Right.
It's fine to be like, immediately you know what you think. She
right.
knows what she thinks. She's not stupid. We're both sharp. It's okay if you both
Thanks,
are sharp
baby.
And you have strong opinions. But wow, for that marriage to work, you got to bring love and humility and say, all right.
And I do think that's
why have to be my way.
We had such problems because we were both very strong. I think in some situations, one of the spouses is more strong, the other one's more passive. So it maybe works, but I'm still not sure that's still the best because one of the persons isn't even able to voice their opinion on anything. It never goes their way. So that's really not fair.
Yeah. And so you're listening to Thrive and we're actually talking about something that you might think, what? Flexible.
Mm-hmm.
Flexible.
Peaceable.
Can you flex? Can you be flexible with your spouse as you make plans, as you talk through things, as you make decisions, because what it's all about is doing life together.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of, I hope, romance and love, but it's how do you be a team? You're supposed to be a team. We're trying to be Team Bigney.
Right.
Not, it's still Brad Bigney and he happens to have a wife.
Right.
And that's what I was actually thinking in the early days of our marriage that made it so bad. It's still Brad Bigney and he just happens to have a wife tucked under his arm. I was as guilty as any, guys. that's not going to cause your marriage to thrive. I had to learn her, listen to her, prefer her, love her, and then actually flex and set aside some of my thoughts to do what she would prefer. You're listening to Thrive, and we're talking about what would move your marriage from barely alive to the oxygen that would cause you to think, I actually enjoy this. This does feel like a gift that God gave us. Oh, consider that the pride of inflexibility and rigidness is what's killing you.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.